think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It is the summer of 1939. Ernest Tennant, a very well-to-do man, travels to Germany. Again, one more time, this time, I believe, with the blessing of his government, where heretofore he and Graham Christie and Conwell Evans have been providing information to Van Sitterers and amateurs. And their information, while extremely accurate, is regarded condescendingly sometimes, I think, when I've read this. Charles, the Tennant mission is the strangest episode of a series of strange episodes. What was the ambition? What was the thinking? Why Ernest Tennant agreed to it, and what the hopes were for the mission?
Tennant conceives of this entirely on his own, but he gets in touch with 10 Downing Street to Horace Wilson, who then liaises with Chamberlain, and offers his services to go incognito, plausibly deniably, as it were, to visit Ribbentrop, his old friend with whom he'd set up the Anglo-German Fellowship. They'd seen very little of each other for about 18 months. But he thinks that he may be able to, that he believes that Hitler and Ribbentrop were still anxious for friendship with this country, which even Horace Wilson, the doyen of appeasement at the point, still found improbable. But the Downing Street has sponsored a handful of these sorts of missions. And so they agree to do it as long as their connection is kept secret.
The mission takes him to a castle in Austria, which von Ribbentrop, who is a compulsive false witness, a.k.a. liar, tells him that he's recently acquired it. I guess the presumption is with his earnings or his wife's wealth. But in fact, it's a confiscated castle, Schloss Fussel. And in this conversation, Ernest Tennant learns enough to understand that von Ribbentrop is repeating the dictator all the time. And they're now looking at Poland. They're now looking at a war lasting 10 years. They're now looking at how Hitler must find a way to solve his flank. That would be the East, his flank, because he wants to move on Poland. All this information Tennant gets, and he passes on again to London. Does London believe him?
Yes, I think they believe him.
And in believing him, they see that the move that they made earlier to announce an alliance in some fashion with Poland needs to accelerate and sign a pact, which they will try to do. So if I understand correctly, our protagonists have now provided the map of Europe that will allow London to demonstrate how to stop the dictator. That would be the pact with Poland and an alliance with Russia. Does Chamberlain act with dispatch? There's so many vacations that Chamberlain takes. I get lost whether he's fishing or whether he's in a cabinet meeting. Does he understand that the alliance with Moscow, which is recommended by our heroes, and the defense pact with Poland will stop the dictator?
He agrees with it in his head, but not in his heart, I think, is probably a fair way of summing it up. Chamberlain found any dealings with the Russians deeply unpleasant. He has this huge antipathy And famously, he sends out his, the mission goes out to Moscow in a slow boat rather than planes. And Ribbentrop beats them to it. They're so indolent and arrogant. It's not well executed. And that's probably one of the worst aspects of Chamberlain's behavior, of his policy over the summer, is his failure to engage with Stalin more effectively.
Yes, Chamberlain's fishing in Scotland in August 39 now. The crisis is at hand. Halifax is in Yorkshire. Cadogan is holding down the fort. And there's given information that Hitler's going to attack Poland August 25th to 28th of 1939. This is really good information. Lothians in Washington trying to convince Roosevelt that this is going to happen as well. And Roosevelt is not antipathetic, but keeps it all at a distance. It's a European war. And remember, Roosevelt is going to run for re-election in a few months' time. A detail here. We've mentioned the Cambridge Five. Guy Burgess, you report, Charles, Guy Burgess somehow learns about the...
Kim Philby.
It's not Burgess? I thought it was Burgess. But in any event, they learn that that London is moving to sign an agreement with Moscow, and that hurries up Ribbentrop. Did I read that correctly?
Yes. Sorry, I'm trying to remember that incident.
It's a little detail because Philby's in before, and now Burgess, one of the people who was also recruited at Cambridge, is involved in passing really good information that Germany picks up on and cuts off the hoped-for agreement between Moscow and London. I know this sounds like a vast game of risk, but that's how it reads sometimes. The Parliament is recalled in the middle of August. The Emergency Powers Act is invoked. London is aware that Hitler is ready to attack, and Hitler puts out the stop order on the attack. He backs down again, at least for a week. At this point, we know war is inevitable, so I'm not going to make us come to a conclusion. I am going to go back on the information that our heroes have been providing London. All of it checks out, Charles. All of it. Everything from 37, 38, and 39. This still did not give pause to the prime minister that their information needed to be acted upon. I'm thinking particularly of those in Germany who want to change leadership, who want to remove the dictator. Does Chamberlain acknowledge that that's possible?
To remove Hitler, the dictator. Yes. No, I don't think he ever does, and I think it was a missed opportunity.
A series
he doesn't explore regime change.
A series of missed opportunities, and just a moment before we turn to the war that breaks out when Hitler attacks Poland, because they're still going to attempt to communicate back and forth. There is a very famous book called The Unnecessary War. And I believe that Winston Churchill is often given credit for saying it was such an unnecessary war. Your book, Charles, makes that point again and again. Have I read you correctly? There were all these Absolutely. Moments to turn off the disaster.
Absolutely. And I think it was the term was used by Churchill talking to Roosevelt during the war.
And the scale of this now, and we'll reflect on it, although we have more events ahead of us in the war, once the fighting begins, until the crisis of the spring summer of 1940, the scale of this now, has it made its way into the historians here in the 21st century, that there were decisions made in London, policy decisions made in London, that avoided how this war could have been stopped by removing the dictator, or at least supporting the Germans who didn't support him?
I think it's overlooked. It's not discussed enough in the history books.
That is what the fellowship was about. Have I read you right, Charles? I mean, that Yes. was the point of the fellowship.
Well, towards the end, they were working very, very closely with the resistance, and the Foreign Office were very sniffy about the resistance. I mean, perhaps with some justification, because it was fragmented, it appeared disorganized. And often it was hard to work out how well coordinated, how realistic it was. But looking at it from the other point of view, you know, Hitler's control, his grip on power was not always 100%.
The book is Coffee with Hitler. Charles Spicer is the author. The war begins September 1939. This is CBS Eye on the World. On to more of our heroes trying to stop the catastrophe. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.